greet all of you in Jesus' precious name. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you again for your goodness and for your mercy. We thank you for Jesus. We just ask that you would help us to reflect his image to this world, Father. Fill us with your Spirit and give us wisdom and understanding. Help us be faithful to you. Lord, again, we just thank you for all that you do for us. Give us the words to say and open our hearts and minds to hear it. Again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's open our Bibles to Galatians. I think we'll just go to Galatians chapter 6. Kind of thinking this verse, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says that it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. I want to just start with that. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. You know, we can take almost anything and become a slave to it. We can take bad things. We think oftentimes of bad things and how people become slaves to them. But people can become slaves to good things. I mean, he had just finished talking here about the people that were under the law and how they had become slaves to it. And so whenever he's talking about freedom here, he wasn't talking about freedom from vices, things that we would look down upon a lot of times, but he was talking about the law, and which there's nothing wrong with law. But whenever we become a slave to it and we're enslaved to it, we're not free. Christ came to set us free. And it was for that freedom that Christ set us free. He made us as individuals with a will and with a choice. And his plan for us as human beings was to be a person that had a will that would choose good, that would choose God, that would choose light, that would choose life, that would choose to be free. You know, a lot of times we think of freedom as being out from under oppression, or being held in bondage, things we can't do. A lot of times young people think that being under their parents is just bondage, that it's just so hard being under their parents because their parents have rules and things for them. Well, let me tell you something. Getting out from under that bondage does not make you free. That's not how you become free. I remember one time I was driving down the highway and they have the chicken trucks going down the road. And once in a while, you'll see a truck and there'll be a chicken that'll get out of the cage going down the highway. And you can just see that chicken just struggling, finding a little crack in the cage and just struggling to get out. And going down the highway 60 miles an hour, and he's just trying to get out of this cage. And he finally makes his way out of the cage and he jumps. And the next thing, he hits the pavement at 60 miles an hour. But the last thought of him in his mind was, I'm free. I'm free. Right before he crashes into the concrete. And then gets run over by another car or truck coming down the road several times. But that's not freedom. Just being out from under bondage, that's not what freedom is. Freedom comes from within. That's freedom comes from what Christ can do for us. I've told you before of whenever I was just starting to follow the Lord and started to seek the Lord, and I used to chew tobacco. And I had chewed for years from the time I was a little boy. And I got a little older and decided this is kind of dumb. And I wanted to quit it. And so I would just try by my will just to try to quit it. And I could go for 6 months at a time and not do it. And then be around with my friends or some situation. Well, I'll try it again. And the next thing, just be right back doing it all again. I did that over and over again. One evening I was at church and the preacher was preaching, and just something he said, just like the Lord flipping that can of tobacco on my, and just, he was just saying, give it to me. And I left the church and I just took the can and threw it right out the window, and I never wanted it again. I had become free from it. That was real freedom. I even have dreams sometimes, years later, that I started doing it again. And I just kicking myself, why in the world would I do that again? But I'm free from it, and it's a blessing. And that's what real freedom is. You children, they're at home and you feel restricted. Well, the problem's not with the rules. The problem's with you. You can be free and be a slave. There's people right now in jail cells and been in prison for years, and throughout history we hear about them that have been in chains all of their life. But they sing. They're happy. They can do whatever they need to because they're free. They're free in spirit. They're free indeed. Real freedom. That's the kind of freedom that we need. We see in this world freedom. You know, this country we live in, was one of the things that they established it on was freedom. And the prosperity and the blessings that everybody in this country receives comes from that privilege of freedom. You know, a lot of people live in countries where the government oppress them. They won't let them do anything. They take everything that they make away. They discourage. They break their spirits. You know, we've been in countries that people don't even try anymore, because every time they try, they just get squashed. The government would just come along and take it away from them. And so nobody winds up doing anything, because it doesn't pay to do anything. It doesn't pay to work. It doesn't pay to try. It doesn't pay to do any better than anybody else. You just go along with the flow and wait for... I remember walking down the streets in Cuba, and the man I was with, he... Oh, I smell bread. That must mean they have bread down there at the bakery, which they only did once or twice a day, and immediately it was gone. Because people would come, and he just got a whiff of bread and ran to the bakery so he could get his loaf of bread for the day. That's living. For him to try to do any better or to excel any more, the government would just come along and take it away from him. So they're content. This is my country, one man said, this is my country. We don't do anything extra. We don't do anything. We just wait for a loaf of bread to come along. That's no way to live. And so nobody even tries. It's hard. But we can still have freedom in that. There's people that can still do good and help in all of those situations. There's still opportunities And people can still be free in situations like that. The country we live in, that little experiment of freedom where you just let people have the freedom to do whatever. That's why we have the prosperity. That's what's lifted the prosperity around the world, is because of freedom. And that's the exact thing. That's a physical example of what freedom can do to the spirit and the man. The things that can be produced and the things that they can do and accomplish just by letting man be free. It's the same way with religion. It's the same way with following Jesus. Jesus didn't come to bind us by a bunch of laws. That's what they were talking about here. He didn't come to set you in a rule book. He came to set you free. And when you set a man free, truly free, one place it says, you shall be free and free indeed. And when you're free and free indeed to choose to be the godly, moral agent that you were created to be, there's no restrictions on your life. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. I tell the boys all the time, do I have to? No. If you want to, you don't have to. Whenever you tell children something and they are just all whining and complaining, do I have to? Nope. If you want to, you don't have to. I know Kevin's older boys, that used to just upset them terribly whenever I would say that. They didn't like that. But if you want to do something, you don't have to do something. You're free. But if you have to, you're in bonds. You're just living, you're just putting chains on yourself if you have to do something. Whatever you find yourself to do, do it with all your might. Do it happy. I told you before, I don't know what happened whenever I was in high school playing basketball. I liked to play the games, but I hated the practice. We would run and exercise and run. And I was just always the last one to finish. Just doing the very basics, what I had to do. And one day something just clicked. And, you know, if I just jump in and do this, I can have it done and be standing there waiting on the guys that are having to do it. So I just decided, I'm just going to get this exercise and get it done. So I tried to be the first instead of the last. It was like shedding 100 pounds. I was free. Not having to carry that big old burden of have to. Oh, I have to do something. You just get rid of that have to and get a little want to in it, and you're a new person. That's a small example of what Jesus came to set us free. You know, we're not going to be a religion in heaven. There's going to be free people there. There's not going to be a bunch of people who have to be there and have to abide by the rules of heaven. There's going to be people there because God can trust them with freedom. You know, freedom, we think of freedom as just something that's free. I can do whatever I want. Freedom's much bigger than that. Freedom is the liberty to do what's right. To choose in this scale of life, instead of choosing wrong, choose right. Instead of choosing things to be a burden, choose for things to be light. That's the people that'll be in heaven. It's not the strict religious person that's going around scared to death all the time that they've offended God. You know, freedom is even freedom from fear. Fear is a tool that Satan uses. Fear is a tool of the devil. You know, they used to say that God was created to bring the people into line so that they could use the fear of the church and the fear of God so people would act in order. That's what the atheist said. That's the reason God was there. Well, that is a God. That is real. But it's not the God. It's not the God of heaven. The God of heaven came to set us free from those things, to dispel the darkness and the being afraid all the time, to give us light so that we could walk in the fresh air of light instead of the old gloomy, polluted air of fear and darkness. Christ came to set us free. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. And it's so easy for us to become burdened down with religion, become burdened down with what I have to do. Walking in the light is walking in freedom. You know, being pressured to do something because of peer pressure, because of social pressure, whatever, and we're afraid not to do it. And so we wind up submitting to things or surrendering to things out of fear instead of out of choosing to do it. Just like Brother Floyd mentioned in his, the pressure of young people to make you feel cool, and so they pressure you into doing something. It might not even be something, it might not even be that wrong in itself to do it. But whenever you succumb to that pressure or that fear that you want to be cool or you want to be like all the guys or you want to impress your friend, that's bondage. That brings you into a life of subjection to things like that. God called us to be men. That's why it's so important that we allow people the freedom to make their own choices. God has given us the instructions of how to be what He wants us to be. And we can do that just because we follow a group of others doing that. But following that group of others is no different, whether it's religion or going out and getting drunk because it's cool. The motive, the structure behind all of that whole thing is, I'm afraid not to go along. I'm afraid not to conform. And it may look religious, but it's still conforming to the world. Christ came to set us free. And it's hard. You don't have to, He didn't call to be a rebel. It's not what I'm talking about. It's calling you to have enough courage to live out the life that God wants you to live in His strength, in His freedom. It's really just pretty simple. These go on to talk about the deeds of the flesh and the gifts of the Spirit. And when we're on that free side and we're choosing to follow the Lord, the fruit of the Spirit, it just love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness, those things aren't a burden to us. It's the way we want to live. And those other things, the idolatry, sorcery, disputes, dissensions, fractions, envyings, drunkenness, those things are chains. They're burdens. But only when we're free, can we choose to have those other things? You see, that's what Christ did when he came into this world. You know, the modern gospel says that Jesus came to save your dirty soul from hell. And he did. But he came to set you free. You see, the modern gospel says that Jesus died so that God wouldn't be mad at you anymore. Jesus came to set us free from a wicked devil, not a wicked God. He came to set us free from an evil, cruel tyrant that wanted us to live in fear, to be afraid all the time. That's what Satan wants from you, not what God wants from you. God wants you to be free from that. That's why Jesus died, to set us free from Satan's horrible bonds that he had upon us. That's the Old Testament. You know, the reason there were such harsh things in the Old Testament is because when a person got so involved in sin, there was no remedy for them to get out of it. So that's why they were put to death and stoned. That's why there was wars in the Old Testament, because people had become so corrupt. There was no redemption. Christ hadn't come yet. There was only the promise, the hope of redemption in this small band of people of Israel. And the rest of the world was so corrupt that they were trying to destroy this little small band so that the seed would never come. But men chose to overcome this world, and they preserved that seed. That was their duty in the Old Testament. The children of Israel, the purpose for their... It wasn't about the children of Israel. They were the protectors. They were the guardians of the Son of God, the bloodline that God had promised, that through your seed I will send a deliverer. You know, a lot of times we focus on this little wonderful country of Israel. But that it isn't about that. Their reason they were so elevated in the Bible wasn't because of who they were. It was because of the promise God had given them, that they would bring the deliverer into this world. And the world around them had become so corrupt that the only way was to eliminate them. You know, there was even times in the Bible that a rebellious son, there was no redemption for them. And they were even to be stoned. That wasn't because God was mean and angry. It was so that he could preserve the goodness until Christ could come, so that we could live in freedom, that we could be redeemed from tobacco, like I was, that we could be redeemed from anger and hatred and bitterness, murderous thoughts, that we could be set free from those things. That's why he came. Just like being free from those things, we can get so caught up in religion that we become afraid of it too. We see that all around the world, all through history. Like I said, the atheist said that the reason God was invented was to keep the masses in line so that they would be afraid and so they would walk the line. The devil uses fear. It's not God's tool. We may be condemned. We may feel guilty for what we've done. And God just uses that to show us where we can actually correct ourselves. One line I wanted to read here in this next chapter I never did get to was talked about examining yourselves. Whenever we examine ourselves, a lot of times the motive for our examining ourselves is so I won't go to hell, so I won't be in trouble. Instead of examining ourselves to see what can I do to actually correct what I've done wrong. That's the reason we're to examine ourselves, to improve ourselves. A lot of times we feel guilty and condemned. We just feel like we're not doing nothing. If there's not a clear plan for you to move forward, there's no reason for that kind of self-condemnation. A lot of times when we say examine ourselves, it just scares people to death because they start feeling guilty. There's no reason for that. Turn from those things. And if you've turned from them, leave them and move on. Examine yourself to see where you can improve. Not just so you can make yourself feel bad again. That's slavery. That's bondage. Jesus came to set us free. He's a good God. And the people that get to heaven are going to be those that are free so that they could live out there on their own. And belong there. There's not going to be imposters. People that are just real strict religious people in heaven. Because there's not going to be somebody overlooking you all the time in heaven. You either belong there or you don't. It's just that simple. Hell is just simply the trash can for the people who won't fit in heaven anymore. Won't be what God created you to be. And it takes courage. And it takes faith and trust in a good God to set us free. So many times we live in guilt. You know, whenever Jesus said that to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow Him, a lot of times we start trying to figure out how to save myself. But it said deny yourself. We have to recklessly abandon that focus of ourselves on whether I'm going to heaven or whether I'm going to hell or not, and leave that completely in God's hands. Set yourself free from those things. I remember one time, my family, they were going to Silver Dollar City or someplace for a day, and I stayed home. And I was just going to pray and fast for a day or two. And they were off having a good time. And I was just going to, because I wanted to know whether I was going to heaven or not. And I was praying. And I was just, I want to know beyond a doubt that I'm going to heaven. And it dawned on me that I don't deserve to go to heaven. I deserved to go to hell. I deserved it. I didn't belong in heaven. And I just decided right then, Lord, I don't deserve this. But You are worthy of being served. And if at the end of my life, I get thrown into hell, it's just right where I belong. But I'm going to serve You anyway. I'm going to serve You not because You'll save me, but because You're worthy of being served. And I was set free from the fear of never quite measuring up. Never quite being good enough. Because I realized I wasn't in the first place. And it's only because of freedom and the blood that Jesus shed to set me free that God gave me the privilege to serve Him. Because He's worthy to be served. That should be what we examine ourselves about. Not to whether I'm good enough or I'm doing this or I'm doing that, but to where my heart is. I want to serve Him because of Him. That's what it means to deny yourself. It doesn't mean better not drink that Coke or better not eat that Twinkie. Oh, I'm denying myself. I didn't eat a Twinkie today. Denying yourself is leaving yourself in God's hands and serving Him because He's worthy to be served. It was for freedom that Christ set us free.
My dad gave us the assignment to just give some thought about springtime. And I thought about how every year I kind of tend to look forward to spring more, and it seems the winter's long, and then we get to spring, and it seems like that's a time where we think more positive thoughts, not things don't seem so negative when you get to spring.
I like spring because before everything was kind of dormant, and now it's coming back and turning green, and maybe the year before, if we made mistakes or learned things, we can start over again and start fresh.
One thing about spring is that the temperature is like always really nice. In the winter, it's usually too cold for comfort, or in the summer, it's too hot for comfort. But in the spring, it's just usually really nice temperature, and it rains a lot too. And yeah, and it's just nice too that I work in the shop in the winter pretty much every day, all winter, and it's just nice to be able to get out into the garden sometimes and have a little bit of variety in the spring.
I like spring. It seems a lot like a new day, and it seems like you get another chance to a whole new year, a new chance if you did anything, if you mess up the year before or the day before. It's a time of like renewal and stuff, and you've been stuck in all winter time, maybe trying to do a lot of inside work and stuff, but now you get to go out and work out in the fields and stuff. It's nice.
I like spring. It's an amazing, beautiful time, and it reminds us how wonderful God is to give us all these blessings, and especially when you have to feed hay and stuff in the winter, and it's just a blessing to see the grass coming back, and then you can, yeah, it's just a real blessing.
Spring is the time when everything springs up after being dead all winter, and it's nice just to see everything alive again, feel the good weather.
I like spring because it's like a reward after feeding hay all winter.
Like the warm temperatures of spring, which means the grass is going to start growing, the cattle will get fat.
I like spring because it's easier to wake up in the wintertime. It's so cold, you just want to stay in your blankets and not get out. Go do what you have to do, but in the springtime, it's nice and warm. You got to get out and you're eager and ready to start the day.
I like springtime because everything blooms and you can feel the warm weather.
Good morning, everyone. It's a blessing to be here on this fine spring morning. And like the boys said, there's just a lot of optimism and hope. And when nice weather springs up like this, it's a real blessing. Now, this morning, I'd like to go to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 9, and I was going to read a couple verses and talk about it. 2 Corinthians 9, verses, I'm just going to read 1 through 3. It says, "Now concerning the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain, in this respect, that as I said, you may be ready." What I wanted to bring out here was verse 2, where it says, "Your zeal has stirred up the majority." Here, Paul's writing to the Corinthians, and he's saying that they have something here that's affecting someone else. They have a zeal that's stirring up a majority of people. They had some good works, and they were willing. I think it was they were getting a gift ready for someone. I'm not even sure who it was, but to the point where Paul could even boast of them to this other church. He said, you know, what about this church over here? They're all happy to give gifts. You know, maybe he was trying to help out another church, and this other church started to get stirred up by this. And I just wanted to talk about being an example this morning, how the things we do affect the people around us. These Bible characters, Paul, for example, the example he set is still affecting people thousands of years after he died. You know, that's quite a legacy to be able to do something to the point where when you die, it's like you haven't died. You know, in a way, you keep living, affecting those that hear about you. You know, it could be grandchildren or great-grandchildren or friends, you know. You can affect them even after you die. And just wanted to say there's people are watching us whether we like it or not. There's people observing us in every aspect of life. Anytime we leave our house, even in our house, when we wake up in the morning, our children see how we wake up. They see if we wake up grumpy every morning and just kind of complaining about the weather, or complaining about this and that, breakfast wasn't quite on time, or whatever. People are watching us. And, you know, we are responsible in part for the people that we're around. We're responsible partly for their souls, just because we can affect the decisions they make for good or bad. And just to give an example of this, I wanted to tell you a little story of when I was probably, 17 or 18. I had made friends with one of the rowdier boys at school, and my parents weren't really excited about this friendship. They kind of, you know, just warned me a little bit about it. But I really liked him, and we did a lot of things together. And one day we went out to town together, and he had bought some alcohol, and I knew my parents would be totally against this. But because he had some, he gave me some, you know, and we just were driving around drinking, you know. It's just kind of shocking, maybe. But he influenced me to do that. You know, if he would have not done it, I wouldn't have done it. And I'm not blaming him. There's a time you have to stand up and say, no, I'm not going to do that. But on the other hand, I could have been an example to him and say, you know what, I think I'm going to pass. I think we'll just, you know, I'd rather not. Maybe he wouldn't have drank that day either, you know. So the things we do just really affect the people around us. You know, what we say to other people is a lot less important than what we do. You know, they're seeing what we're doing. And that's going to affect them a lot more than what we say. And I just had the thought, you know, do you want to change someone? Is there somebody you'd like to change? You know, don't go and just tell them. Don't try to manipulate them. The best way to change somebody is just be the change that you'd like to see in them. And that's not, you know, you don't do it because you want, you know, that's not the object of changing them. You don't want to just say, okay, I'm gonna be good just to try to get them to change. You just be good, and you know, they might see it and change, and if they don't, well, it's okay. It's their decision. But we can teach and show people a lot by just our attitudes and our actions on an everyday basis, just as we go to work. Just try to set a good example. You know, our friends and our brothers are watching us, and we can all help each other climb, or we can all affect each other to go down the road we don't want to go. We'll just want to encourage us. Lord bless you all.
Oh, Stand.